This is Bob Enyart inviting you to our second Friday meeting on June 8th to hear scientists from the Creation Research Society speak at our Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meeting, Friday, June 8th at 7 p.m. And if you'd like a visiting scientist to speak at your church on Sunday, June 10th, please contact the Creation Research Society. For more about our Friday night, June 8th meeting, which is at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church at Wadsworth and 21st, please just go to kgov.com, that's kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278.
One warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to look at reason number 472, why you should take your kids out of public school. Reason number 472, and this is out of Wisconsin. Local school district is told to stop using their seclusion room. What's a seclusion room? Is that like when you're in jail and you're sent to the hole? That's like isolation? You're being put in solitary? That's what it is, right? The Waupun Area School District, that's near Two Rivers, Wisconsin, has been told by the state to stop using their disciplinary seclusion room. So stop sending kids to the hole, at least until several corrective actions have been taken. So what? Like installing a smoking lounge? A wet bar? I mean, what? An Xbox 360? Following a parent complaint that drew media attention, the school district contacted the State Department of Education. They turned themselves in. And actually there it's called the Department of Public Instruction, DPI. To determine whether the room is in compliance with state guidelines. Now that cracks me up. They contact DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, to say, are we in compliance with our solitary confinement? What, they have standards for this? Apparently they do. They actually do. This is true. This is reason number 472 to pull your kids out of public school. The district also wanted DPI. Doesn't that stand for something? DPI. Dots per inch. The district also wanted dots per inch to determine whether or not the staff acted appropriately when a 10-year-old autistic boy was thrown in the hole. Now that's too much. That's just too much. This 10-year-old boy was placed inside the isolation chamber for an hour and a half. It reminds me of the bridge over the River Kwai, but for preteens. The parent, Mandy Renick, has since pulled her son Tyler out of school and is homeschooling him. Hey, victory in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yet another child possibly saved. An eternal soul possibly saved. Because, you know, the godless education system, by nature of its godlessness, is designed to send your child to hell. That's the goal. And if you have a young daughter, for her to explore lesbianism. If she gets pregnant, they will take her during school hours to get an abortion at Planned Parenthood. So the godless government school system is designed to destroy your child, and no justification, no excuse will matter if in the very predictable future you realize that your child has been destroyed. What will you say? What justification? If you're a father with a daughter in the public school system, how many boys are going to use your daughter? How many teachers are going to try to have sex with your daughter by the time she's out of high school? Forget the students. According to a report released Tuesday last week by Dots Per Inch, Special Education Director Stephanie Petska, the Dots Per Inch found the use of the seclusion room not consistent with their directives for the use of seclusion and restraint in special ed programs. So they have standards on this. Here's how you properly use handcuffs. Here's how you tie the student to the flagpole. Here's how you throw them in the hole. So Renick said her son, who has Asperger's syndrome, that's sad, right? That's a form of autism, did not comply, couldn't reply, wouldn't comply. What did I just say? Did not comply, couldn't comply, wouldn't comply when the 10-year-old began pacing the room when he was told to stand in the corner or he would be thrown in the hole. Actually, they said, or they'd put him in the quiet box. So the problem with this 10-year-old boy illustrates the overall problem. It's not only that thousands of kids get restrained every year in our public schools, thousands. It's not only that. You know, what's a liberal to do? They've tried drugs for 30 years now. We got 10 million kids on Ritalin. 10 million. Your kid's special? You thought your kid was special. He's one of 10 million. But this illustrates the problem. Kids shouldn't be institutionalized. They're streamlined, like cookie cutter, like an assembly line. They're all dumbed down together or pumped up. And whereas homeschooling allows for appropriate individuality. So that was reason number 472. You know, we could do this all day if we wanted to. We could. I mean, just stories from May 2012. We could if we wanted to. Like, look at this. What's this in my inbox here? Reason number 473 to pull your kids out of public school. Teacher in trouble for punishing students with a pet collar. You know what a pet collar is? That thing you put on a dog so it doesn't lick or bite its wounds after surgery. The veterinarian does it. Well, this Florida teacher could lose her job because she punished students by having them wear a cone-shaped pet collar. Maybe the students were licking themselves. I mean, that's not beyond the pale. What's a liberal to do? I mean, what's the teacher to do, right? She's at her wit's end. It was a short trip, but she's at her wit's end. And so the superintendent of the Pasco County Schools District says that she recommends firing this teacher, Lori Bailey Cutcomp, 47 years old, for putting the cone on at least 8 of her students. She teaches the 9th grade. So over a 2-day period in April, she coned 8 kids. She did it to punish them and at other times to embarrass them. And then here's what the superintendent wrote. And this reminds me, I can't really put my finger on it, but it reminds me of the old letters to the editor in the Rocky Mountain News from teachers back when at Bob and Yurt Live, they said we were harassing the teachers. We were reporting every time they assigned homework having to do with certain sexual behaviors. So we'd report it. And the teacher said that that was harassment. So anyway, the Colorado Education Association, their attorney sent us a letter saying she was going to monitor our program for any possible future references to her clients. So we sent her a letter back saying, we're really not very confident in your ability to monitor our program, so we will inform you when we talk about your teachers. And we did that for some time. So the superintendent wrote this, and see if it strikes you as half a bubble off. She wrote to the teacher, "I am stunned that you would put dog collars on students for any reason." Now that just, I don't know, I'm being too petty. That just strikes me as weird. I'm stunned that you would put dog collars on students for any reason. It's like, it cracks me up. What's a liberal to do? What is this poor teacher to do? Where's the ACLU when you need them? This teacher needs to be represented. Okay, here we have reason number 474. To pull your kids out of public school. Jackson, Mississippi. These are all current stories. Jackson, Mississippi. Schools will no longer handcuff students. Yay! All right, this is from the Associated Press. Public schools in Jackson, Mississippi. I've been there. I've been at the abortion clinic there. We have a video with footage. Is it our Focus on the Strategy 1? With footage at the close at the abortion clinic, the last remaining abortion clinic in Mississippi, there in Jackson. If you've never seen Focus on the Strategy 1, you'll want to see it. So, public schools in Jackson, Mississippi will no longer handcuff students to poles or to other objects. So it doesn't say that they're not going to handcuff them to one another, like in a chain gang or something. But at least we know they're not going to handcuff them to poles or other objects like stairway rails and all. That's been done for years. Putting kids under the stairwell, that's been done for years. They've gated kids into stairwells, and we reported on that years ago. The practice of shackling students to a pole at a district school came under fire, blah, blah, blah. Nationwide, a report from the U.S. Department of Education showed tens of thousands of students, many of them disabled, were strapped down or physically restrained last year. Tens of thousands. This is by the Associated Press and the U.S. Department of Education. What's a liberal to do? Further, student restraints are often abused, causing injury and sometimes even death. How's that? Now we go over to Texas. We're just taking a tour around the country. By the way, this is Bob Benyart Live. We're online at KGOV, KGOV.com. That's our website. You could tune in, enjoy the archives, our Real Science Friday programs are fun. The one coming up this week is fun. With Fred Williams. Okay, here's reason number 475 to pull your kids out of public school. Texas teenager jailed for skipping school. Now, she must be a bad kid, right? Texas teen jailed for skipping school. Can you blame her? I mean, now that the other students are no longer handcuffed, they're not pet collared, they're not locked in isolation. I mean, it's just not safe anymore in school. So what's a liberal to do? So if the kids won't go to school, then they got to throw them in jail. Now, if this kid was a troublemaker, they probably wouldn't throw her in jail. They'd probably be glad she's not going to school, but they want her there on, what is it, like the third day of the first week of school where they take attendance. And then based on how many kids are there that day, they get like $8,500 per kid on that day. So that day they have pizza, hot dogs, French fries, ice cream. They really do it up on that specific day in the first week of school. And so the kids come out of the woodwork. More undocumented aliens go to school on that day than any other day in the entire year. Somehow the word gets out. They probably hand out $20 bills. Well, according to the story reported by Houston's KIGN TV5, the 17-year-old girl, Diane Tran, had to spend a night in jail recently for missing school. According to the station, Diane Tran was devastated by her parents' divorce. Now that's tragic, right? Common and tragic. We have an epidemic of divorce. We have a jihad against children, against marriage, against the family. Kids by the tens of millions are told that they're just animals. There's no right and wrong. If it feels good, do it. Question authority, rebel. And the public school teachers then, they complain, well, what do you expect from us? The families are so messed up. And so we ask, well, where did the parents go to school? Where did they go to school? What, were they all homeschooled? All these messed up families that you're dealing with, the GNP. You're dealing with the GNP. And all these messed up families, didn't they go to your school? Isn't that where they learned how to be civilized and tolerant and respectful? They learned all the rules of the road. So she's divorced. She's devastated, understandably. And she started working two jobs to help support a younger sibling and an older brother. Okay. So she's working two jobs. And when she is in school, she gets straight A's in honors and college prep courses. Aha! Now we know why they threw her in jail. They need to keep her in class or else the entire school's GPA sinks below 50%. Without her, the whole school, the average grades, sinks below 50%. So they need her to keep the average up about 50.3% of average. So that's reason number 475 to keep your kids out of public school, because if there's some kind of family crisis and your child doesn't want to go to school, if you're a homeschooler, they don't throw your kid in jail. You deal with it as a family. You talk to your child. You say, I know things are rough, honey. You need a few days off. I understand. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then we'll work on getting you back in your routine. But reason number 475 to keep your kids out of public school, they might get thrown in jail for truancy. Okay, here's reason number 476 to pull your kid out of public school. This is from Minnesota. Duluth East High School vandals will not face charges. Now, how's this? These students, five students, vandalized East High School, five. And the Duluth School District has decided, and you know, back in the 1960s, if some school bureaucrat or juvenile judge thought, well, here's an idea, why don't we not punish them and see how that turns out? If they did that back in the 1960s, it would have been inane, even back then. I mean, only a moron would think that when you got five teenagers vandalizing a school, it's going to turn out well if you don't punish them. Only a moron. But back in the 1960s, it would have been inane. Now, after 50 years of total failure, and they still do this? This is... the inmates are running the asylum. The inmates are running the asylum. The administrators need to be punished. The administrators need to be flogged. So the Duluth School District has decided against filing criminal charges against five students identified as responsible for vandalizing East High School last week. Maybe they thought that the school really was better off after the vandalism. Maybe they destroyed some kind of a perverse homosexual art exhibit in the lobby. No? All right. When we looked at this, said Superintendent Bill Gronzeth, When we looked at this, we really wanted to make sure we're taking a restorative approach. We do take the vandalism very seriously. There are consequences, but these young men will not face charges. All right, that was 476. I'm losing track here. You know, we could do this all day. We could do this all day. All day, every day, we could report on the latest dysfunctional news out of your public school. And everybody says, well, our schools are better. Our schools. And that's what, one of the biggest lies? Another big lie is the parents who say, well, my kid has a Christian teacher. Oh, really? Your kid has a Christian teacher. Out of the 30 teachers your kid has, or 40 or 50, as a public school student, your kid has a Christian teacher? What do you mean your kid has a Christian teacher? Who's your kid? Well, I have a daughter. She's a sophomore in high school. Okay. Who's her Christian teacher? What subject? What was her math teacher? So her math teacher's, oh wait, you said it was. What do you mean it was? Well, that was in fourth grade. Oh, so in fourth grade, your daughter had a Christian teacher who's now living with another of the teachers at the school, but it's a Christian teacher. And so parents will sell themselves on this false sense of security that my daughter is going to be okay because she has a Christian teacher. And that's simply not true. That is not a valid justification for handing your daughter over to a godless education system. And it's godless by design. It's godless by decree. And so how do you know if a child's education system is evil? Well, first indicator, is it godless? Well, yeah, it's godless, but, well, it's evil. And so it will attempt to conform your daughter to its godless ways. It will, at all costs, attempt to convince your daughter that homosexuality is a virtue and that the Bible's morality is evil. And you know what? If millions of kids experience is an indicator, you're going to lose and the school's going to win. You're going to lose and the school's going to win. And you think it's free, but it's only free. Public education is only free if you don't count the cost of your child's soul. Count the cost of your child's soul, then you realize, well, it wasn't really as cheap as I thought it was. So here's reason number 477 to keep your kids out of public school. This from a New York high school out of the Huffington Post. So we know it's true. When is this? This has got to be old news, right? These things are old stories. Well, this is from May 30th. When was that? It was today. All right. New York High School cancels plans to provide condoms for promgoers. Okay, so this is reason number 477 to take your kids out of public school because now they can't get condoms when they go to the prom. So you got to take your kids out. I mean, they canceled plans, so they had the plans to start with. It turns out they didn't care that they canceled the plans because they've given out thousands of condoms already before the prom. It wasn't necessary. It was only a symbolic move. And besides, half the girls are pregnant and half the boys are homos. Although sex education classes are a part of most American high school curriculums, school administrators, families, and communities are again asking the question this year, is it appropriate for schools to provide condoms to students on prom night? Now, I didn't know that was part of the American tradition every year to consider that question. I didn't know that. I've been busy the last 30 years. That just went right by me. I never caught that one. So Every year, parents and school administrators are asking the question, should we once again provide condoms to students on prom night? Well, how's that been working for you? How's that been working out? So this is the Bedford-Stuyvesant Preparatory High School in New York. And their principal, Daryl Rasko, said that the school would make 500 condoms available at the prom on June 7th. And so they figured there might be an all-out melee, a virtual riot, to get the condom, so they thought it'd be better off just not to provide any to anybody. So this is how broken, how dysfunctional, this is how the school assumes that your daughter will be a tramp. They assume that. Systematically, they prepare your daughter to be a tramp. That's what they do. So, do we need more numbers? I mean, how many numbers do we need? What's this? USA Today. All right, USA Today. Reason number 478 to pull your kids out of public school. Schools try to pull out of the science slump. It turns out our students here, our high school students in America, are ranking below countries like, say, Hungary in science proficiency. Now, in Colorado, you could go online and look at the proficiency of schools, government schools. And you might be shocked. This is in Colorado. We're not talking about some banana republic. Maybe we are. It's in Colorado. And in some schools, it's the vast majority of kids who are performing under proficiency. And you think, well, maybe the standard's too high. I remember going to DU. I mean, things have gotten so bad that they've taken to calling our colleges duh. And so I remember going to DU and getting the student newspaper, and the front cover, front page story is the most popular course on campus. And I wondered, what is the most popular course on campus? It turns out it's remedial English. Remedial English. Now, we're in America. This is our mother tongue. DU is expensive. It makes going to University of Colorado look cheap. Like on the other side of the tracks. DU, that's where kids who have a lot of money go, and their number one course is remedial English because they can't read and write after public school.